Could commercial unmanned vehicles or drones be the next big business in our area? A closer look just ahead. Good Thursday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. First Coast Connect is always live at 9, and now catch our daily podcast on iTunes. And keep listening, because just ahead we'll tell you why drones could soon be buzzing over our skies. Get on the line now with your questions at 549-2937. Then later, how you can celebrate the Rat Pack era in style and also help out this area's seniors. Plus, The Spectator with all this weekend's events, all of that and more ahead this morning. But first this hour, most people call them drones. But over on Jacksonville's west side, a company is gearing up to offer the officially named product, Commercial Unmanned Aviation Vehicle Services, starting this month. Now, drones have a fascinating array of applications. You might have seen that they were just used to help flood victims in Texas. Drones are also used to film concerts, inspect pipelines and train tracks, even monitor agricultural land and utility lines, all kinds of things. But what are the regulations involving this type of unmanned aircraft, and what changes and challenges are ahead for this technology? It's a timely topic as we welcome Brent Clavon, Program Manager with Jacksonville's Aviation Systems Engineering. He's here now in studio. Hi, Brent. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And here's our question to callers. When it comes to drones, commercially used drones, what are your questions and comments? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect and email and tweet the show. So as soon as June 15th, in about a week or so, or two, you're going to be offering drones to the community. That's coming pretty quickly. Tell us about it.
We are very excited. It's been a long road, and we are looking forward to launching our program on June 15th. And we are actually legal today. And when I say legal, the FAA has already given us approvals to fly.
You're street legal, or actually you're sky legal, I guess is the right way to call this.
We are. And to put it in context, the FAA Modernization Reauthorization Act in 2012 set a series of stepping stones in progress to get us to the point where we could put drones into the skies, integrate them into the domestic airspace. Well, they've had a couple events since that time, and one of the more recent ones is the authorization for commercial small UAS. We applied, and we recently received an award from the FAA to allow us to fly commercially.
And so when you launch, how will these devices be used?
Well, you pointed out some very interesting applications at the start of the show. ASIC believes that there's a market out there and that there's a need, and part of the need is still not met by using these small unmanned systems. Think about anything that a helicopter or a manned aircraft could be used for, that aerial perspective. And then take that same application and reduce the cost. So now we open up a market space for those who couldn't afford that manned aircraft to look at their crops. Maybe even safely do a bridge monitoring or a cell phone inspection or a cell tower inspection. So we see great application, and we don't think we actually understand everything that we could be used for. There's still a market to be explored.
Now, the FAA had really clamped down on this exemption until recently. They were concerned about two things, privacy and safety. These vehicles colliding with other aircraft in the sky, how were you able to resolve those concerns?
The FAA has some technical challenges integrating drones into the sky. One of them is in a manned aircraft, you have a pilot, and they can use their eyes for see and avoid purposes. So they see something, they maneuver to avoid it. It doesn't exist in a drone. The cockpit, the pilot's on the ground. And so today's technology does not allow for a drone to see and avoid something in the sky. So they limit that, where the drone can fly, and the number of people that have to support the drone event. It takes two people. It takes one person to fly the drone and another observer to actually watch the drone and see where it flies and see if anybody enters into that same airspace. Then he'll inform that pilot to maneuver or to land.
And drones could take flight as soon as June 15th on the First Coast, now that the FAA has loosened up the rules. We'll go to your calls and questions about drones in just a moment at 549-2937. These will be used for film and video projects, too. Brent, they already are in a small way, but this will open up more film and video production for drones, too, correct?
Yes, and the film industry were the leaders in opening up the skies for commercial uses. They went to the FAA, demonstrated a safety case that they could use drones on a closed set to film participants and whatever movie applications they needed. It also proved it might even be safer to have a small drone that weighs less than 5 pounds as opposed to a large manned helicopter.
What about those who are concerned about privacy? They don't like the idea of an unmanned camera watching them from above. What about that concern?
It's a concern, and our state legislator in Florida recently passed a law that talks to that, the Freedom from Unwarranted Surveillance Act. And I think many people have opinions about that. My opinion is that it was overreach. Today, when that law gets passed and is enacted in July, if I fly my drone and take a picture of somebody without their consent, they can take me to court and sue me.
Now, Governor Scott also signed a bill into law that prohibits the use of aerial drones to capture images that the news media would try to capture, television stations, that could infringe on people's privacy on their private property, and that includes on their homes and lawns. What about that wrinkle?
It's a challenge. The First Amendment, freedom of speech, versus the Fourth with the privacy, there's always that tension between the two. We think that the law is going to have to be opened up again in the next session and re-attacked on the First Amendment to allow companies to be able to use these things safely and smartly. Yes, people have a right to their privacy. We think there's an expectation that these things could be used ethically and not invade people's privacy, and there's laws in the books already to take care of that.
Now, a team from the FAA test site for drones in Texas spent part of last week flying a drone along the Blanco River to aid search and recovery efforts following severe storms that killed 17 people in Texas and Oklahoma. So that's another potentially life-saving use for drone technology.
Yes, and unfortunately here in the state of Florida, because of the laws in the book, there's only one law enforcement agency in the state. That's Polk County Sheriff's Office. That has a drone with an approval from the FAA. We just recently came out of a hurricane exercise for the state, and with only one law enforcement public safety organization to be able to use this capability for search and rescue, I think that sheds light on how restrictive our laws are. I'd love to see this application in all the fire departments and all the search and rescue teams to be able to use this for search and rescue in a times like a hurricane.
You brought a little visual aid with you. We're radio, so we're just going to have to paint a picture for our listeners. You have a remote-controlled device. It looks sort of like a video game console in a way. And then you brought with you a small unmanned aircraft. Tell me about this. It's small enough to sit right here on the counter here in the studio.
It's my personal drone. This is not one of the companies, but it's very familiar. If you watch news and you saw the white quadcopter land on the White House lawn, this is the same model. It's a manufacturer called DJI. They have about 70% of the market share. It's a growing company. They estimate $1 billion in sales this year. This particular model is called a quadcopter because it has four propellers and four arms. And it's very easy to fly. If you look at if I'm holding up the remote control right now, and there's only a few buttons and dials on that, and that's intentional so that people like myself without an RC background can easily fly this thing.
Oh, you don't have the background in this?
No, I don't have an RC background, but I'm a commercially licensed pilot, which interestingly, for me to fly this thing legally, I have to go to the FAA and take either a private pilot's course, a sport pilot's course, or be a commercially rated pilot. And so I had to do that. And so anybody getting into this market, that's one of the barriers to entry. So this little less than 5 pound device that flies for fewer than 15 minutes with a camera on board, it's a fun thing to play with, and it's also very useful. These cameras and the payloads they can carry, obviously the bigger they get, the more they can carry and the more they can do.
Lots of calls meanwhile as we discuss the arrival of drones to the First Coast. What are your questions? 549-2937. Joe is in Jacksonville. Hi, Joe. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Melissa, and thanks for having Brett on. Brett, first I wanted to say thank you. Last year, you were behind a panel that you held at the Hyatt Hotel that, from my individual knowledge, really helped me understand the broad brush use, because our only exposure up at this point is predators launching missiles and wartime operations. And that panel exposing us to all the different commercial aspects that unmanned vehicles could enhance our lives and our economy was terrific. So thank you for that. May I suggest that you look for forums that can help the community come to grips and understand how they can use, so businesses and entrepreneurs can go, okay, how do we make this impact our economy? With that said, would you expand a little bit on the bigger economic impact, certainly in Northeast Florida, that it could have on us, and maybe talk a little bit on finding out there seems to be a little center or community of excellence with UAVs in our Northeast Florida area?
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for that, Joe. And one of my missions in life is to raise awareness, on what the rules are and how they can be used, but also that this is not always a tool that's going to be used unethically. We have organizations that are certified to be able to do the work, and so we want to get that information out. Now, the economic impact, I have not yet seen a study that said anything other than that there's great potential growth. And everything I've seen is a billion-dollar industry and upwards towards $50 to $70 billion in the next 10 to 15 years. There's also an intersection where manned aircraft will be outsold, or unmanned aircraft will outsell manned aircraft in the very near future, in the estimate 2025 timeframe, where unmanned systems will overtake manned systems. In Northeast Florida, there is a community that's growing for the use of these. We're one of the first. We'd love to reach out and continue to partner and collaborate with others to see how we can ethically use these in the area. I know there are a lot of markets out there and individuals and companies that don't realize that this is available. So we're thankful that we can talk to people like you about it.
It's exciting technology, but what would you say to those who are concerned about just the increasing trend toward automation and unmanned technology? People think, well, what jobs am I going to be able to do in the next 20 to 30 years?
That's a legitimate concern, and not everything new is better. And I think there is room for both manned and unmanned systems, whether it's in the air, sea, or ground. I wear a hat where I'm the vice president for the Association of Autonomous Vehicle Systems International for the Florida Peninsula chapter, and so we advocate for automation. We advocate for robots. We realize that there are some concerns there, but I think anybody that's looking to get into a market where there's technology involved with what you do for a living, that you need to embrace this and understand this to see how it works for you.
And we want your calls on the use of commercial drones coming to the First Coast this month, thanks to loosening of regulations by the FAA. 549-2937 as we go to Mike on the west side. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a local video producer, and I've used a drone on shoots before, and I've got some friends here that are drone pilots / videographers, which is an increasingly common hybrid. One thing that I've noticed, just to comment real quick on the last thing you were talking about, I really don't think that the unmanned applications are going to eclipse the manned application. I think that it's actually opening up a lot more opportunities for a lot more uses, but that's just my opinion. The question I wanted to ask was, one thing that I've noticed amongst the community of folks that I deal with is that if you ask 5 different video/drone operators what the rules are guiding the use of them and where they're allowed to go and what they're allowed to do, you'll get 8 different answers. Is there a place or a resource that has a complete or pretty up-to-date guidelines that we can maybe follow or track on a regular basis so we can stay up with what the requirements are, stay up with the relevant issues, stay up with the concerns so that we're all kind of informed on what's going on?
Yeah, thanks for that, Mike.
Yes, I would start with FAA.gov, and then in the keyword search, put in UAS, and they'll take you to a repository of all kinds of great information. In regards to your videographers and your friends that are talking about this or using this tool, please use the FAA website to navigate on how to get authorized. In the FAA's eyes, anybody that's flying commercially and gaining even a tangential benefit from this commercially is not allowed to, and you're subject to enforcement rules and penalties. So if you're flying without FAA approval, please be aware that's in the FAA's eyes, that's not legal.
And do you anticipate that regulation to stay in place, even though they've loosened up for your company?
One of the stepping stones I mentioned earlier, the next one is to open up the skies even further, so to speak. And so there is a notice of proposed rulemaking at the federal level where they have a small UAS rule that's open for public comment. In fact, it just closed down. And so now the FAA is charged with looking at all those public comments, which over 5,000 were received. Some of the things that they offered up was that you do not need an airman certificate from the FAA. So someone like your last caller said, I'm a videographer and I'd like to use this for my business, but the barrier for my entry is the cost of getting an airman certificate, the time, the money, expense. Well, maybe that in the next couple of years, you don't need to do that and you don't need to go through that process, but still the FAA has to have some kind of standardization process. You have to pass the test.
It's a fascinating topic. If you're just tuning into the show, as a company on the city's west side, ASIC, Aviation Systems Engineering Company, is planning to launch commercial drone products beginning on the 15th of this month. That's due to new rules from the FAA on this. What are your questions about drones? 549-2937. Dave on the south side. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm kind of like a pretty laid-back, wide-open guy, and I really see the commercial opportunities for this technology, if you have permission of the landowner to use it. But you know, if I'm sitting in my backyard minding my own business and one of these things went flying by, I'd be tempted, and I don't own a shotgun, but I'd be tempted to go out and buy a shotgun with a full choke and shoot the thing down, because it's intrusive. And I don't know if stand your ground would apply to this, but I mean, this opens up all kinds of opportunities for abuse of people's personal property. This First Amendment stuff, I just don't see that if somebody's intruding on my property and taking pictures of me or whatever they're doing without my approval. I don't think that's trespass, and I don't like that.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Thanks for that point of view. And as we mentioned a little earlier in the hour, the governor did sign a measure into law that would not allow media organizations to shoot that type of video over someone's house. But what about his question? Are you worried that someone might shoot your product out of the sky if they're angry about a drone flying over their house?
Knowing that the state of Florida has these laws that are pending here in July, we have a series of consent forms that we did not anticipate having to follow through. But now when we walk into a project site, we're going to get permission from everybody in the vicinity that we might incidentally or inadvertently capture an image of and get their permission to do so. And if we accidentally get something that we don't want to capture, then we're going to destroy that. So we also have a data management policy where upon landing the aircraft, we'll then have its data destroyed, and we'll have proof that and an archive of that information has been destroyed. But for your point on shooting something out of the sky, that's still illegal no matter what you do. You just can't shoot things out of the sky like that. It is an aircraft in the FAA's eyes, so it's tantamount to shooting at a Cessna or 737, which can also look into your backyard. But Dave, hopefully you see something like that. There are rules in the book that you can take action on. I just encourage you not to shoot anything.
Yeah. What about his larger point, though, that this might open up a Pandora's box of privacy issues? Even if you follow, your company is above board and follows all the rules, there might be others that don't.
There were 500,000 drones sold in 2014, and there may have been a few instances on the news where the privacy came up and it became an issue. And I think it's a combination of awareness, making sure that people who buy this device and use it recreationally, where my concerns mostly lie. It's not the professional organizations like ASIC and others that want to operate this. It's the recreational users that are going to do something nefarious with it, potentially. And so what I encourage people to do is go to the FAA.gov website, and on there's something called Know Before You Fly. One of the challenges with the FAA on integrating drones, both commercial and recreational use, is people just don't know what the rules are. So you have the incidents like you had in Washington, D.C., where the drone flew into the White House lawn. You have incidents around the airports where people are trying to get imagery of planes landing. If you look at that Know Before You Fly YouTube video that the FAA produced, I think it will really help recreational users understand what they can and cannot do and some of the consequences.
And we'll go back to your calls in a moment at 549-2937 on this fascinating topic of commercial drones, unmanned aircraft. Richard emails the show, is there some sort of drone operator school that could lead to a real job? How do people get into this field?
We are interested in that as well as a company. We see that as an area that we would be able to help satisfy. There are a few schools that offer this capability, this instruction where you can get trained on a drone. But I also would caution that with people that getting into this market, that if they want to start their own drone business, there's some training involved, but most of the systems that are being produced and what I forecast will continue to be produced will get easier and easier to fly. Melissa pointed out that I wasn't a drone flyer, and that's true, but the systems are so easy to maneuver, to understand, to operate. I think that's where technology is going to take it. And so I think the reliance on a training ground to actually learn how to fly these things will be diminished over time. There will always be a need for some training for the more complex systems, but in the near future, I see that transitioning.
Here's a tweet from a listener. I've heard about drones being used in search and rescue during disasters. I'd like to know more. And yes, we did talk about that a moment ago, just the other day in Texas. drones are used to sort of fly ahead and get a look at the lay of the land and see if there's anybody that needs rescuing. That's the basic way they're used, isn't it?
Yes. So the technology, we're focused so much on the air vehicle, as we call it, the truck. What's really interesting and where there's great opportunity is the payload, the sensor. So the sensor today is typically just a camera, your standard camera, and it gets more in this particular model I have here today. It's just a regular camera that you can buy off the shelf. But the technology allows it for a thermal sensor or an infrared sensor. So in the case of Texas, if they're looking for a lost person and they're able to see the heat signature using one of those thermal sensors, then that really helps save the time and maybe helps facilitate a rescue more rapidly. And in case of Canada 2 years ago, the first rescue of a human using a drone was accomplished by the Mounted Police with just such a technology. When the manned platform was unable to fly, they launched their little drone. They found the stranded passenger in a car wreck off the ditch in a snowbank, and using that thermal sensor, they were able to facilitate that rescue. And now that drone is hanging in the Smithsonian Museum.
Wow, phenomenal. Dennis in Atlantic Beach. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just curious, you know, you talk about how inexpensive they are and how inexpensive they are to operate. Is there a future within law enforcement so that we don't have to keep paying for these military grade helicopters to be out flying around, for law enforcement purposes? They can be out there, but be operated from a remote station to assist law enforcement and save some money in the long run.
Sure. Thanks for that question. Law enforcement.
I'll start with the answer by saying when I was in the Pentagon, while I was still in uniform, I was one of the first drone geeks. And so I was in a room full of 50 other manned aviators, everything from F-18 fighter pilots to cargo transport. And so we were kind of the misfit toys of the office.
And I Not anymore, though, right?
No, it's funny how they've come around, including the services in general. And so there's a shift that's going to happen. And I can honestly say without a doubt, we will never be able to replace the human in the cockpit. We will always need that person to make those judgment calls, to be able to navigate through weather, those variables that we can't program enough code for. So in the near future, and I don't know if I'll ever see this or if my kids will ever see the day when we take the human completely out of the loop. And so law enforcement will always have a need, in my opinion, for manned helicopters for those high risk, very complex scenarios. However, as in the case of Mesa County in Colorado, this small rural police department, they're able to use their little drone for pennies on the dollar, and they use it for not only law enforcement purposes, but for the municipality. For example, they used it to survey their land waste fill. And every year they had to pay $10,000 for a private company to look at the land waste and do a survey. Now they can do it for less time, less money, and save the municipality some money using their same drone.
Alan in Orange Park. Hello, Alan. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Melissa. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask your guest if he's heard anything about the advancement of the technology into people movers, where you would actually use it rather than a bus, and it would be pre-programmed to take you from one point to another.
Okay.
Interestingly, it's not aviation related, but yes, that is happening. And we have a demonstration coming up, which is off topic, but Jacksonville is going to be the host for the Florida Department of Transportation Florida Automated Vehicle Summit. That's a mouthful. And it's occurring December 1st and 2nd here in Jacksonville. And so that summit will have a day of panels and speakers that talk about automated ground systems, automated sea systems, and air systems. And there'll be a day worth of demonstrations over at Jacksport Cruise Terminal to demonstrate all three of those capabilities. So I encourage you to follow that and look up on the internet the Florida Automated Summit.
More tweets and emails. Ryan tweets the show, Darth Vader loves drones. Just kidding. Julie emails the show, I agree with Dave, the man who just called. I'm an open-minded person, but I don't want your average jerk flying a drone around my neighborhood. If it comes around my property, how can I know who it belongs to in order to make a complaint? We'll answer that in a minute. But first, Bill in Jacksonville. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for taking my question. I'm curious what you think about the statement that Wired magazine made on the topic when they said that the question of privacy was a question of the last millennium, and that in this millennium, the only question that remains is one of the quality of exposure. Who's watching whom?
So that goes back to the privacy issue.
And there's always going to be that topic with a device that can capture your image. And there are other sensors out there, and people who follow the industry realize that there's the ability to collect signals. And if you follow recent news releases about the FBI's program, there is a concern out there for privacy. And it's usually about 5 minutes into any discussion I have about drones where privacy comes up. There's an intersection between privacy, regulations, freedom of speech, news gathering. I know if Melissa wanted to go outside and use the drone to videotape the next door amphitheater, a concert event over there, she would be allowed to under most states' rules, but in the state of Florida, you cannot. So we cycle back to what the governor just signed and will be law here next month, where if you feel your privacy has been violated, you can go to court. And unfortunately, in this current law, you can also recoup your lawyer fees, which is game on for the lawyers. I think they're going to find this a very interesting industry to get involved in.
Mitchell in Palatka. Hello, Mitchell. How are you? Go ahead.
Just fine. For many, many years, I was a manufacturer of model airplane kits. And, of course, these things are an awful lot of fun. The thing that concerns me, though, is the proliferation of them is going to encourage some people to put weapons on them. And this has already happened in the Middle East conflict of Palestinians buying model airplanes, putting bombs on them. And I personally don't think that the model airplanes should be flown outside the range of the visual range of the operator, because all we're going to have is some airplane that is brought down with passengers on it, or a helicopter that is brought down by one that's floating around outside of the operator's range. And I think the federal government will come down real hard on model airplanes and drones, which are basically just more sophisticated model airplanes.
Thanks, Mitchell. Okay, lots of feedback about this hot topic. Brent Clavon, June 15th is fast approaching. What'll happen then at your company?
We don't have a specific project launch on the June 15th timeframe, but what any startup business has to go through is there's a series of processes we have to get in place before we can fly and feel comfortable flying. So we're a very low-risk company. Insurance is a big deal. And what is lost in a lot of the discussion is, how do you insure a drone? This 5-pound thing sitting in front of me, what does a broker provide for that? So as a pioneering industry, the insurance industry doesn't quite understand how to handle this. And so there's a whole other discussion that's occurring outside of this type of topic that we have to figure out and work alongside our industry friends to figure out what are the models, what are the calculations, what are the actuary tables look like for something like this. And so that is that's a very significant discussion. So a company like ours, we don't want to launch anything until we have things like that in place. So on June 15th, we expect to have everything done, to include insurance, to include the crews are ready to go, the product's ready to go. All of our FAA things have been finalized. And then we hope that the calls start pouring in so we can go out and start supporting projects around the Northeast Florida area.
Well, we'll have to check back with you. In the meantime, thanks for sharing all this with us. It's so fascinating.
Thank you, Melissa.
Brent Clavon is program manager with Aviation Systems Engineering on Jacksonville's West Side. And much more still ahead later, The Spectator, with a lot of weekend events. We'll also tell you about Boater's Skip Day. Get out and take a day off tomorrow on the water. But up next, spotlighting the great work of Elder Source.
Calling all educators, WJCT and Community First is proud to present the 4th Annual Teach Conference, an event created by teachers to engage, empower, and inspire teachers. Saturday, September 12th at the Hyatt Regency Riverfront Hotel. Tickets are only $30. Spend the day sharing ideas with colleagues, learning new ways to engage students, and empowering yourself to inspire others. Bring a friend and get your tickets now. WJCT.org/teach.
This summer, WJCT will introduce several new programs to our weekend schedule. We want your help deciding which new shows come to the First Coast. Starting May 10th, tune in Sundays at 1 o'clock for a special preview of The Moth Radio Hour, Snap Judgment, Wits, and Studio 360. Help us decide what you hear on 89.9. Get more information at wjct.org/weekends.
Relax Radio WJCT 89.9 HD3 is your music station, playing the songs you remember best from the Beatles, Elvis, Frank Sinatra, Barbra Streisand, and Motown, 24 hours a day, only on WJCT 89.9 HD3. Learn more at wjct.org/relax.
Welcome back. Well, it's a great way to help seniors in our community, and all with a little ring-a-ding-ding. Elder Source will host a Night with the Stars gala Saturday night here at WJCT, and the theme is crooners, cars, and cocktails. Guests will be transported back to the Rat Pack era with big band music, dancing, and it's all in an elegant club atmosphere. Linda Levin, Executive Director of Elder Source, is here with a preview. Hi, Linda.
Hi, good morning.
This is such a fun event, and we'll tell everyone all about it in a minute. But first, Elder Source is a vital resource in our area. Let's talk about the mission of Elder Source.
Sure. Elder Source is a nonprofit. We are designated by the state to help elders live and age independently and with dignity in their home and in community.
Right. And there's a lot that goes into that. You do a lot around that that effort. Can you tell us what this event Saturday will help support?
Sure. This event, the funding from the event will help support our mission by providing support for the staff who staff our Aging Disability Resource Center. They respond to calls from older adults, adults with disabilities, and caregivers looking for help. It will also raise money for home-delivered meals for older adults in the community. We cover 7 counties, and there's a great deal of need, so this program will really be helpful for
that. Yeah, there really is, because Americans are living longer, and more Americans want to stay in their homes.
That's right, and most people do, right?
So yeah.
This is a great opportunity for us to help them do that.
And so this is an easy way to help Elder Source. And how much fun is this going to be? It's a Night with the Stars gala Saturday night here at WJCT. Now, I love the theme, because who doesn't love the Rat Pack era? So tell me all about this. What are people going to see when they come in? And everyone should dress for this too, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's a fun event. There will be classic cars at the event. It'll be a nightclub atmosphere with a live band, Amelia Island Crescendo, who is fantastic. And it'll just be, there'll be some casino-type games and other opportunities for people to participate and engage.
How do you, the Rat Pack theme, that's, you did that last year too, didn't you? Or do you change the theme every year?
Well, last year was the first year we had that theme,
okay.
And it was so much fun.
So much
that
fun
we kept
that
it.
You decided to do it again.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. So what should we be wearing to this?
So it is evening attire, and if you could dress in that period, it's even a lot more fun.
Yeah.
I have my little June Cleaver style outfit. So.
Do you really? So are we talking 50s or early 60s?
Probably more 50s, but
okay.
Not the poodle skirt 50s.
A little more sophisticated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And tickets still available, right?
Yes. And you could pay at the door or online, either way.
Right. And so, and by the way, there's a hashtag for this. It's Night with the Stars, hashtag Night with the Stars. So look for that on Twitter if you're there, and get your tickets now for the Elder Source Gala, A Night with the Stars, Saturday night, here at WJCT Studios. The website is myeldersource.org. This is a lot of fun, and if you've never had the chance to dress up in this era, this is your opportunity. I think it's great. And Linda Levin, thanks for all you do. We'll see you here Saturday night.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
And we're back in a moment with all this weekend's events, including one on Friday that is new to the area, Boaters Skip Day. How good does that sound? That's next.
Wherever you spend your morning, NPR's Morning Edition is there with you. Wherever the story takes place, NPR's Morning Edition connects it with you.
Dallas.
Des Moines.
Topeka.
Montana.
Cleveland.
San Francisco.
Denver.
Philadelphia.
Minneapolis.
Miami.
Colorado.
Washington.
You will own your morning wherever you are when you choose to spend tomorrow with Morning Edition from NPR News. Weekday mornings beginning at 5 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
New name, new look. Join us for our annual Women's Health Conference, Girls Day Out, August 15th, Hyatt Regency Hotel. Morning keynote speaker, mental health advocate Jessie Close, who wants to change how people talk and think about mental illness. An ambassador for Bring Change to Mind, a not-for-profit organization founded by Jessie's sister, actress Glenn Close. Jessie fights stigma and misunderstandings to create a clearer picture of mental disorders. Good for you. Girls Day Out is hosted by Baptist Health and WJCT. For a complete list of speakers or to purchase your tickets, log on to wjct.org/goodforyou.
Follow what's happening at WJCT, even when you're away from your radio. You can follow WJCT on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can listen live online to WJCT-FM at wjct.org/listen, or on iTunes Radio or TuneIn Radio. And you can hear all of your favorite WJCT-FM shows anytime on demand on iTunes and Stitcher. Wherever you are, WJCT is there.
Welcome back to the show. Well, if you've got spring fever this week, how about a little aqua therapy? Boaters Skip Day is back on our waterways tomorrow. It's a Friday full of fun on the water, playing hooky, and a weekend full of events, too. Bob Cox is membership director for Freedom Boat Club, and he's here now with a preview. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. How are you?
Good to see you. So Boaters Skip Day, I guess, was such a big hit last year, you're bringing it back.
That's absolutely correct. All bringing right. it back for fun on the water.
So the idea is that we all skip out of school or work and hop on a boat and party. Is that basically it?
That's basically it.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Senior Skip Day.
How did this all come about?
Well, it's we like to sponsor fun on the water and support everything that's getting you out on the water and having fun out on the river. So we, we support the Jacksonville Marine Association, which we're part of, and making things fun for people out on the water. Get out on your boats, have a great time with your family, and get out on the water. So it's just it has to do with supporting the P1 races and Boater Skip Day. So there you go.
You're going to start this Friday morning, first off, at Julington Creek Marina, correct?
Right.
That's where things kick off?
That's where we kick off. Then we head down to the sandbar just south of the Shands Bridge. So from 10 a.m. till, I think, 5 p.m. Is it 10 to 5? Yeah, 10 to 4. I'm sorry, 10 to 4. And we're going to have, there's going to be live music, free food. We're going to have a great time. So everybody come down there and just have a big shindig.
And then Saturday, it's the Jacksonville River Rally Poker Run,
absolutely,
too.
Yes.
So that's fun as well.
Absolutely. Great fun. A lot of fun out on the water. So bring the family, everybody get together.
Now, I don't own a boat. I'm fully down with this boater skip idea. Can you get me onto Shad Khan's boat? That's really my only question at this point. I would like to skip on that boat. Can you hook me up?
I'll call him just as soon as we step out and see if we can do that.
Me and Carrie Speckman and I, let me be grammatically correct here. That's where we want to do our boater skip. We
okay.
figure,
all right.
If we're going to do this, let's do it upright.
Let me see if I can set that up for you.
You want to get him in your club, don't you?
Absolutely.
So if Shad Khan is in town and listening to the sound of your voice, you're issuing the official invite. The Kismet needs to be part of the Freedom Boat Club.
Absolutely. We'd love to have the Kismet as part of the Freedom Boat Club.
Absolutely. So how do we make this happen? I got to get on the phone and help you with this, too. But seriously, though, I kid, but if you don't have a boat, how can you take part in this?
If you don't have a boat, you can take part in it. You could absolutely become a part of the club, the Freedom Boat Club,
uh-huh.
and become a member of the boat club that way. Or could get into a friend's boat, get them wrapped up with the event tomorrow. So get in with a friend.
Sure. And tell us a little bit about how the Freedom Boat Club works.
Freedom Boat Club is somewhat like a country club. So there's a one-time membership fee. There's monthly dues. Right now we have just over 30 boats. By the end of the year, we should have right around 45 boats. We've got two locations here in Northeast Florida. You have access to every boat that we have. So you just make a reservation online.
How cool.
Come down and get in your boat, turn the key on and go have fun. the boat back to it, give us the keys back, and you're done.
All the fun without all of the hassle of owning a boat.
You got that right.
Because, don't they always say the best 2 days of boat ownership are the day you buy it and the day you sell it?
That's correct.
I hate to say that, but isn't that what they say?
It's what they say. And then, of course, there's the acronym BOAT.
Which is?
Break out another thousand if you own a boat.
Exactly. So this is a way to enjoy our waterways in Jacksonville without the hassle and expense associated with actually owning a boat. It's via the Freedom Boat Club, their second annual Boaters Skip Day, coming up tomorrow. What do we tell our employers? What should I say, to justify my absence?
Tell you what. I've got two boats that are going to be there tomorrow.
Okay.
One's called the boardroom. The other one is called executive suite. When the employer calls you, say, you know what? I can't talk right now. I'm in the boardroom.
Oh, I like that. That makes sense. That sounds legit.
It is, absolutely.
He's Bob Cox, membership director for the Freedom Boat Club. Again, it's freedomboatclub.com for Boaters Skip Day tomorrow and the Jacksonville River Rally Poker Run on Saturday. Enjoy the water. Hopefully great weather for it. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And finally, this hour, lots to do across the First Coast all this weekend. Here she is every Thursday to take us all around town. We welcome the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, Jacksonville Magazine's Carrie Speckman here today. Oh, you're clapping with one hand. What happened to your hand? You have a bandage on it.
Let's just say Wayne Woodstock.
Leave it at that. No more explanation needed.
Sprained hand.
So what do you think about the hookup on Khan's yacht? Do you think we have a chance?
I'm so in. It's funny. I was just looking at pictures of the inside of it online.
Uh-huh.
Six bedrooms. God.
Yeah. Plenty of room for us and all of our fabulous friends.
Of course.
So we will be receiving a call from his PR
any minute now. They'll probably tweet it.
Yeah, right, exactly in. Right. But in the meantime, if you don't do Boater Skip, tonight you do need to come downtown to the baseball park for rounds at the grounds.
At the grounds, yes. I think, I don't know how many years they've been doing this, but it is the North Florida Coalition.
I'm
going to get in so much trouble. I'm injured.
This is baseball for babies. Doctors playing in a celebrity softball tournament to help with our area's high infant mortality rate.
Yes.
Our own CEO, Michael Boylan, is playing.
Yes, he is.
Duval Superintendent Nicolai Vitti is playing.
Yes.
Richard Nunn, Bruce Hamilton, Melanie Lawson of Channel 4, Telvin Smith of the Jaguars.
He's an honorary chair. He'll be throwing out the first pitch.
Right.
It is at five. I would be playing, alas, injured list.
You're on the IL.
I will be sitting in the
dugout?
Yes, with my team, the white team, and I will be helping Charlene with some announcing duties.
Oh, that's excellent.
But you get when you get your ticket, you also can stick around for the Suns game after.
Oh, how fun.
And I believe it's Thirsty Thursday.
So you're hitting a trifecta on that one.
You really are.
This is to benefit the Healthy Start Coalition.
Thank you.
Of Northeast Florida Spectator.
Thank you. I'm going to be in trouble. But,
yeah. You are really going into
the
dugout.
All I have to do is sell tickets. So they can learn about it there.
Yeah, you can buy tickets at the park. Come on out tonight for rounds at the grounds.
Yeah, it's super fun, actually.
Yeah, that is a fun event. So get out and enjoy a night at the ballpark tonight. Also tonight through Saturday, Tom Green at the Comedy Zone.
Yes. What's interesting is I saw him a couple years ago, and people were taking pictures during the show. I think he's a super paranoid person.
Really?
Because he got all, wigged out and, started kind of yelling at people.
Oh, man.
So I could just picture a drone flying right into the Comedy Zone, what he would do.
The main thing I remember about him is he was married to Drew Barrymore
for about
5 minutes.
Yes.
But a funny guy.
Yeah, and he had the Tom Green show that was on MTV,
exactly.
Which was kind of way before all those other kooky shows, Jackass, and all those shows. He would play little pranks on people. But he's funny. He's just, do not take any pictures of him.
No selfies with Tom Green for you.
Maybe a selfie, but not while he is performing.
Okay.
Don't even try it.
All right. So that's tonight through Saturday. Also tonight, a great event at Everbank Field, the food fight to benefit.
I look like I've been in a food fight,
don't I? You actually kind of do. You actually kind of do. Well, maybe you can float on over to the football stadium after rounds at the grounds and check out food fight. This is the top restaurants in town supporting struggling families who are hungry through Lutheran Social Services and Nourishment Network. Great event every year.
Yes, Touchdown Club, Everbank, like a Black Sheep will be there, Candy Apple, Moxie, Olio, Avente, Orsay, lots of great places that you could try all at one time.
That's right. One ticket gets you unlimited food and drink, so support the food fight tonight. And then Friday and Saturday down in Heming Park, it's Poga Palooza.
I love anything with a palooza on the end.
I know.
Yeah, it's the world champion U.S. Open for Pogo.
Pogo competitors.
Pogo
athletes.
Pogo athletes, yes. They will be setting records for the highest, best trick, freestyle. They have world record attempts, and then an expo and a free jump area where children and adults can try.
Oh, now that's fun.
We had one when I was growing up, and like two jumps is about all I could do.
That's all you could manage?
Yeah, I would not. But I mean, they could fly like 10 feet in the air. That's crazy.
They'll be hanging out. They'll be like competing with the drones, soon to be floating over our airspace.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. So that's Friday and Saturday.
That's Friday down at Heming Park. Poga Palooza.
Free.
And that's free. Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
It'll be very fun.
We talked about Night with the Stars.
We did.
Let's talk a little bit about...
Well, I didn't.
Okay, let's move along to the historic Springfield tour of homes this weekend. If you love historic homes, you got to go to this.
And you don't want to get arrested for trespassing.
No, buy your tickets.
Buy your tickets. They have 8 venues this year that will showcase the classic architecture and character of the Springfield Historic District.
Tell it, Speckman. Tell it the proper way.
Four restored turn-of-century homes. They will have one Victorian home in the process of restoration, which is cool because you get to see behind the scenes. And the Solomon Lodge, which is the historic mansion of the Barnett family.
Oh, very nice. Is that new? I don't think they've showed that before.
I do not know the answer to that question.
It's beautiful. And Springfield gets all gussied up for this. This is great. So,
and you can, I think there's one meeting place, but then you can walk. They're all within walking distance.
Yeah, you can walk. It's
or
a walking
biking
tour.
Right. Distance. But
yeah,
you know.
That's Saturday and Sunday, the historic Springfield tour of homes. That's through SPAR, the Springfield SPAR is the acronym.
Mm-hmm. Really? Tell me more about it.
I can't remember what SPAR stands for. Oh, no.
We're on a Springfield preservation.
Man.
And revitalization.
And revitalization.
Thank you.
If we saved ourselves.
If that was even right.
I hope that's right. Let's just move right along and forget about that since we've embarrassed ourselves and talk about Saturday's Jack's Axeman Hall of Fame matchup.
Yes. The old boys will be getting back in their retired boots. I didn't even know they wore boots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
These are
rugby guys.
I know, but I didn't know they wore boots. Maybe that's just what they call them in Australia. I don't know.
Maybe.
But they'll be playing some current players.
This is cool. This is Saturday at the UNF Soccer Field.
The clash of then and now.
But this is rugby.
Yeah,
this
rugby
is,
league.
Yeah, rugby league.
Not rugby union. That's
now,
confused.
And you can also check out soccer Sunday as the Armada take on the Ottawa Fury.
Ferrari.
I love that name.
At 4:00. And then the Suns are tonight and tomorrow against my favorite team of all time, the Montgomery Biscuits.
You can't beat that name.
And the
Sharks. Do they hand out Southern Biscuits at the game?
No, but their shirts have little biscuits. They have like a little biscuit guy with a face.
That's so cute.
The Sharks play Saturday at 7:00 against the Orlando Predators.
And that's a big rivalry, so that should
be
fun.
Lot of sports going on.
Lots going on. But if you've never met the Spectator, go on out tonight and let her. She'll be emceeing her heart out at Rounds at the Grounds.
I'm co-announcing.
Who's your
co? With Charlene
Shirk. Oh, with Charlene Shirk.
Yes.
Very nice.
And I will be firing up my team.
Yeah, get them going, Speckman.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. Richard Dunn alone, I can't wait to see.
He is hilarious.
He is. So, and Bruce Hamilton. We're all on the same team.
Oh, that's going to be fun. So no shortage of things to do this weekend. Get out and enjoy the weekend, First Coast. Follow Carrie on Twitter at The Spectator.
Yes. And you look extra lovely today, Melissa.
Well, thank you.
The colors. Melon. Is it melon?
I guess it's radio, so nobody really cares, but thanks.
Well, one day when we have cameras in here.
One day.
And then, then I have to brush my hair.
Yeah, you're going to have to get ready for that.
Yeah.
There will be no more slacking.
That's why I signed up for this, so I could just roll in my pajamas.
Well, for the time being, that's the deal, so keep enjoying it. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chevchik. Emails go to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, and make sure to get our daily podcast. It's now up on iTunes. Next on Diane Rehm, some say Vanity Fair's cover story on Caitlyn Jenner is a pivotal moment for the transgender community. Others say her experience is not typical. Diane discusses the push for legal rights and social acceptance for transgender people. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday Media Roundtable. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.